Hello, this is Kyle Jones with the Fullness of Meaning Christian Ministries. Today we are on the formula for the Celtic solar gods and their portentous nature, signifying the Christ figure that would come. We are steeped in what we would call paganism. In our reading, I use paganism in the amoral sense, not to judge. Paganus in the Latin, meaning the country dweller or the person that's kind of over there. Another word might be heathen. It means over in the heath or the dried up, brambled area over there, such as Macbeth's in the heath. We do three meet. Nonetheless, we are going to continue in this Celtic formula called Beth Lewis Neon, which does signify the 12 trees, the 12 solar gods, etc. Let's continue here. Caesar records that the Gaelic Celts claimed descent from Dis, that is to say, from a god of the dead, corresponding to Dis in the Latin pantheon, and also worshipped deities that were corresponding with Minerva, Apollo, Mars, Jupiter, and Mercury. Since he also records that the Gaelic Druids came to Britain for instruction in religion, the principal seat of the Dis cult was evidently in Britain. The capture of this shrine by a continental tribe was an epoch-making event, for it is clear from Caesar's account that the Druidic Dis was a transcendent god who took precedence of Minerva, Apollo, Mars, Mercury, and also to whom we may add Venus and Saturn, the Latin crow god, a cognate with Aesculapius, and even of Jupiter. And Lucan, a contemporary of Nero, in his poem Pharsalia, expressly states that souls, according to the Druids, do not go down to the gloomy underworld of the Latin Dis, but proceed elsewhere, and that death, quote, is but the midpoint of a long life, end quote. The British Dis, in fact, was no more mere Pluto, but a universal god corresponding closely with the Jehovah of the Hebrew prophets. Similarly, it can be argued that since the primary religious ritual of the Druids in the service of God himself, as Pliny records, was bound up with the mistletoe, quote, which they call All Heal in their language, end quote, and which does, quote, fall from heaven upon the oak, end quote. The name of Dis or Deus could not have been Bran, there being no mythic or botanical connection between the alder and the mistletoe. Thus, it is likely that the guessing of Bran's name was merely a clue towards guessing that of the supreme god. Gwydion did not become Dis, nor did Amatheon, but they together displaced Bran, or what the Romans would call Saturn, and Auron, which would be called Mercury by the Latins, in their service of Dis, and redefined his godhood as Belly. But if so, was Dis originally Daunus, in fact a Danu? And as we have had earlier studies, the Danes, the Danai, would have been the Baltic region gods that we will return to before too long in our studies. It does happen that we do know that the Norse name of Gwydion's horse, if Gwydion was indeed Odin, was called Asker Yggdrasil, or Yggdrasil, which means the ash tree that is the horse of Uger. Uger being one of the Woden's titles. Yggdrasil was the enchanted ash, sacred to Woden or Odin, whose roots and branches in Scandinavian mythology extended through the universe. And if we remember the Headless Horseman story, this would be referring to it for Odin's judgment coming out of the root of this tree that held life. If Bran had been clever enough at the Cad Gadu, which means the Battle of the Trees in Welsh, he would have pronounced his Anglin first. As we could quote this little poem, sure-hoofed is my steed in the day of battle.
The high sprigs of ash are in thy hand. Woden, thou art by the branch thou bearest. The battle of the trees, or the Kadgadu, thus ended in a victory of the ash god and his ally over the alder god and his ally. The pre-Celtic Anuin, from which Gwydion is said to have stolen the sacred swine of King Pryderi, which means in Welsh the one who cares, or Pryderi, and over which Arwen reigned in the romance of Powell, Prince of Dyred, was in the Presley Mountains of Pembrokeshire. But it is likely that there were at least two Anuins, and that the Battle of the Trees, or the Cadgadu, took place at the Anuin in Wiltshire, before Gwydion's people invaded South Wales. It would be fallacious to regard Stonehenge, therefore, as Bran Shrine, because it is an unsuitable site for the worship of an alder god. The older, larger, grander Avebury Ring, 30 miles to the north at the junction of the Kennet and Tributary, is the more likely site, and is proved by the debris removed from the ditch about it to have been in contiguous use from the early Bronze Age to Roman times. All the available evidence points to Stonehenge as Beli's seat, not Bran's. It is laid out as a sun temple in cultured Apollonian style, which contrasts strangely with the archaic roughness of Avebury. Geoffrey of Monmouth records that Bran and Beli, who says that he gave his name to Billingsgate, were later reconciled and together fought battles on the continent. It is possible that troops from Britain served in the successful expedition of the Gauls against Rome in 390 BC. The Gaulish leader was Brennus. The Celtic kings habitually took the name of their tribal gods, and Geoffrey's confused account of subsequent continental wars undertaken by Bran and Belen evidently refers to the Gaulish invasion of Thrace and Greece in 279 BC, when Delphi was plundered, the chief commander of the Gauls being another, Brennus. At any rate, the alder remained a sacred tree in Britain for long after this Cadgadu. A king of Kent, as late as the 5th century AD, was named Gwynarng, which is meaning in Welsh, the son of the alder. Now, the answer to one of the riddles of this taliesin poem medley called Angar Kendod, or Hostile Confederacy, does mean such. Why is the alder of purplish color exist? End quote. This question is doubtless because Bran wore royal purple. The ultimate origin of the god Beli is uncertain. But if we identify the British Belen or Beli with Belus, the father of Danaus or Danus, as Nennius does do, then we can further identify him with Bel, the Babylonian earth god, one of a male trinity, who succeeded to the titles of a far more ancient Mesopotamian deity, the mother of Danai, as opposed to the father of Danaus. This was Belali, the Sumerian white goddess, Ishtar's predecessor, who was a goddess of the trees, as well as a moon goddess, a love goddess, and an underworld goddess. She was a sister and lover to Dauzi, or Tammuz, the corn god and the pomegranate god. From her name derives a familiar biblical expression, sons of Belial. The Jews having characteristically altered the non-Semitic names Belial or Beleli into the Semitic Belial, from which one comes up not again, quote unquote. That is the underworld. And it also does mean the sons of destruction. The Slavonic word Beli, meaning white, and the Latin Belus, meaning beautiful, are also ultimately connected with her name. Originally, every tree was hers, and the goidelic bile, or the sacred tree, in quote unquote, the medieval Latin villa and bilis, branch, trunk of tree, it does mean also, and the English belli or billette are all recollections of her name. Above all, she was a willow goddess and a goddess of wells and springs. The willow was of great importance in the worship of Jehovah at Jerusalem, and the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, a fire and water ceremony, was called the Day of Willows. Though alder and willows are not differentiated in Hebrew, they are of the same family. Tanaitic tradition, dating from before the destruction of the temple, prescribed that the red-twigged willow was a lanceolate leaf. That means a leaf the shape of a spearhead. And that is, it also was the purple osier, that it should be the sort used in the tharsis of the palm. A quince and willow carried during the feast. If none were obtainable, then the round-leaved willow, that is, the sallow or palm, might be used. But the variety with toothed leaves, that is, the alder, was forbidden, presumably because it was used in idolatrous rites in honor of Astarte and her son, the fire god. Such an interwoven mythology, or mythopoetica, to some, the overall battle of the pagan usage of trees, or the viewing of trees, and the interstitching of Israel's history within these rites, both in syncretic usage, that is to say, as how the Israelites did perform their ritual that was interthatched when they were falling. When they had fallen from the traditional worship of Jehovah God, we do see a likening to both Israeli worship and the old Brythonic and Celtic worship. Well, today we will continue, we will stop for a moment to think about what the Mabinogion means, the hope of Arthur prior to the Christ, and the origination points from Sumeria and the Kartvelian culture that have branched out with a beautiful fury, nonetheless a dangerous one as well, and a push for those who do believe in Jehovah Christ God to decipher and distinguish between what true paganism means, syncretic paganism, and a good theology. Well, for today, I'll end my lecture, and hopefully we will come back to this beautiful study that, once again, as I have stated, is deeply entrenched in paganism. And let's be educated as Christians to understand our history from our Brythonic, British Isle patriarchs, matriarchs. Thank you.